All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride. This wild ride called life.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Truths We Hide podcast. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for welcoming us with our season two. So we have Charleston Games on here and we met through LinkedIn. LinkedIn can be a very powerful platform if you have the right mindset and you use it properly. So after connecting on LinkedIn through messages, we actually got to meet in person. And so what I loved about meeting with Charleston is that we are like-minded and like-hearted when it comes to mental health. He's very passionate about it. He's also a retired Air Force, and he's doing some behind-the-scenes work that is very inspiring. So let me just have Charleston come on here and start talking about what he does, why he does it. But first, really quick, I like to ask our guests when they submit their forms to be on the podcast is their why. And he has a very powerful statement here that I wanted to read. The nation is lonelier, more miserable, desperate, angry, and afraid than we've been since the Great Depression. Very powerful words, but this leads into why he does what he does. So thank you, Charleston, for being here. Tell us about what you do and why you do it.
Well, thank you for having me here. I appreciate it. And I'm really grateful for this time to talk about just the things that I'm doing, because the bottom line for me is that I feel like I can definitely help people. And the things that I have to offer can be so impactful that it would be irresponsible for me if I didn't do these things. I feel like it's my duty, my responsibility. And so there's lots of different layers to this. I'll tell you, first of all, I personally wake up every morning with gratitude. So a quick background for me is that I had kidney disease and my kidneys were failing, and I was at the end stage and I needed a transplant. My mother also had kidney disease and she also received a transplant in 2006, and she passed away in August of 2019. Then on March 30th of 2020, which would have been my mom's birthday, I received a new kidney. And I found out that the person whose kidney I received was a 19-year-old young man who was in the military. At some point in time before he passed, this teenager decided that he would be an organ donor. And for me, I want to ensure that every day I live in a way that can honor the memories and the efforts of my mother and this individual who donated his kidney to me. So I have real purpose there to make sure that I am worthy of the kidney that I received, that I don't waste my life when I have something valuable to give. And then I also look at the different ways that we have approached primarily suicide prevention, but really all forms of violence prevention. And I feel like we're doing it wrong. We're incorrect in our approach, and I wanted to offer something different. Here's the thing. A lot of these approaches are reactive in nature. For example, if someone is suicidal, and we know they're suicidal, the idea is that we're going to go in and possibly take the pills or take the gun from them, talk them out of it. And by definition, we have prevented a suicide in that moment. But that's still reactive in nature. And then when we take those lethal means away, have their lives really improved? Maybe we'll give them 2 or 3 days of inpatient counseling or something, and then they go back and live their lives, but they're still miserable. They're still depressed. They're still lonely. They still hate their lives. I'm glad they're still alive, but is that really a win that we prolonged their misery? So I wanted to find a way then enable us not to just stop people from dying by suicide, but how do we teach them to replace misery with happiness? And I especially use that terminology because I think of it like a boat that's sinking. And when you have a boat that's sinking and you're taking the water out of the boat, right? Scooping it back into the lake or the ocean or whatever, there leaves a gap. There's a space. And if you don't put something in that space, the water just comes back in. When you remove misery out of that space, if you don't fill that space with something else, the misery just comes back in. I can teach you to be happy about something, but if you don't fully replace the misery, then it comes back, because happiness is not just the absence of misery. Just taking away the misery is not enough. And so I need people to learn to elevate their happiness baseline. And that's, to me, the mission. So it's not just about preventing suicide or preventing misery. It's about literally teaching people how to live happier, fuller lives. And when I think about that and violence and suicide in general, I think about the fact that misery is going to show itself one way or another. Misery is going to show itself. Maybe you don't die by suicide. Maybe you get addicted to heroin or opium, or maybe there's extreme alcoholism. Maybe there's going downtown, getting in fights at bars, or maybe there's just crying all night. Maybe there's domestic violence. Maybe there's child abuse. Maybe you think not hitting your kids means you're not an abuser, but there's emotional neglect or physical neglect because you're miserable. And so the fact that you can stay alive and still hate your life enables you to keep your kids alive, but not love them and embrace them. The misery is going to show itself one way or another. So we can't just try to keep people alive. We have to replace the misery with happiness.
That is so powerful. I'm sitting here and I'm letting it all sink in. And I'm also thinking, how do you keep so positive? How do you keep all those things that you're saying and embracing it, especially during the time that we are living in this world? How did you do that, especially when you were going through the kidney process and receiving a new, you know, receiving that from receiving the new kidney? How did you keep positive with all that? Because I have seen people who just want to give up, who are constantly trying to figure out why me, but you seem like you've embraced all this and you're trying to make this into more of a positive message for people.
Well, one thing I think people don't fully grasp is that all of this is a process that takes practice. For example, with professional sports, I'll use the NBA as an example. You might have the skill set at the age of 16 to compete with NBA players. That doesn't mean you're ready to be in the NBA. There's still a process. You still have to mature physically. And so as you go from age 16 to 19 or 20, you still have to practice dribbling and shooting, but there's a part of that you can't rush. You have to graduate high school. You have to go through your growth spurt. And so you have to understand that this is a process that takes practice daily. And I've taught that to so many people. But what happened to me was 2019 was a pretty difficult year. In 2019, my father was diagnosed with cancer. And then, so he was diagnosed with cancer. Then he had surgery. He was diagnosed really early. So he had successful surgery. There wasn't, you know, lots of chemo or whatever. I think he was stage one or something for cancer. They caught it early, but he was diagnosed with cancer. Then he had his cancer surgery. And then my mother passed away. My mother passed away unexpectedly. And I went to her apartment and I found her in you know, her final state. And of course, that was traumatic. But then it's how you choose to perceive people and events, because what happened was my father, after just going through surgery for prostate cancer, had the resilience and the determination, the grit to fly from Arizona out to Maryland to see my mother one last time. And what I had to do was I had to practice all of the things that I talk about. And there were long car rides with my father where I was teaching him the same things. When someone dies that you love, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who that person is. You can write a list of 100 things you should have done differently. Man, if only I was able to go back, 37 and a half months when I said this. We all have that stuff. And in the moment, I had a lot of things that I wish I had done differently. But my father had his also. And we had to work together to choose the positive thoughts. We could choose to focus on what we could have done differently, or we could choose to focus on appreciating what she did for us. We can choose our thoughts. For example, she had a medical emergency in December 2018 that resulted in her losing her leg. And so I brought her up here. So she was in North Carolina. I brought her up here to Maryland and went to Walter Reed. And then I got her an apartment right next, very close to me. And so I was able to spend so much time with her in those last 8 or 9 months. And she was able to build such a greater relationship with my kids during that time. And so we could choose what we were going to think about, but we had to recognize that that choice was not an easy choice. You can say, well, I appreciate that I got to do this. And there's a voice in your head that says, well, yeah, but remember when you screwed this up? And the truth is, a lot of those thoughts are factual. It is true that you messed this up. It is true that you should have done this differently. But in that moment, you can choose to acknowledge and expel the thought, or you can choose to just ruminate on the negativity. And after my mom passed, I had to practice, literally put intentional effort towards not thinking about the negativity. And it's not easy. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing, is that when I say replace misery with happiness, I'm not talking about replacing it tomorrow. I'm talking about teaching you the process that you can employ over time. And when you do that, it enables you to look back on your life without regret. And having no regrets is different than saying, I've never made a mistake. It's two different things. And so I can look back in my life and say, I have no regrets, which is completely different than saying, I've never made a mistake. So yeah, it takes practice. And then going through that process enables me now to deal differently with other people so that I can have a positive mindset. And I'll tell you this also, when you go through a tragedy and you put intentional effort into gratitude, there's a lot that you can come up with. And I'll say for me, for example, it was amazing that I'm up here in Maryland and my brother is right down the street. I'm actually staying with him now. And it's just amazing that we were able to connect. And I'm grateful that we're all in the same area. Would have been completely different if I stayed in the military and was, stationed in Korea or Germany or something. But the way the timing worked out, and the way that a lot of these things are able to work out in your life, is when you can accept who you are, accept your current situation with gratitude, and that elevates your mind to a point where you can recognize and take advantage of positive opportunities in your life, as opposed to continually dwelling on the past and ruminating on the negativity.
I love that. And you're right. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. And I think a lot of us tend to want it all right now. I want to feel better now. I want this to be working now. I want. But we have to learn to have that patience and to change our mindset, because that's where it leads.
Well, you're exactly right. The mindset is the biggest part of it. And when we're talking about happiness, the biggest aspect of mindset is really recognizing that you deserve to be happy. And that is very difficult for a lot of people. I have a Facebook group, and the Facebook group is called You Deserve to Be Happy. And I have questions that you answer before joining. And one of the questions is, do you deserve to be happy? And some people respond, not sure. The choices are yes, no, not sure. Some people respond, not sure. And I'm trying to work through that. I'm trying to help people work through that. And you have to believe that you deserve to be happy in order to replace misery with happiness. And I say that because there are action steps that have to be taken to elevate your happiness. There's things that you have to do daily. And if you don't believe that you deserve to be happy, it's going to be very difficult to take those action steps, because it's difficult to do things that go against your beliefs.
It is really hard. It is. And you would think that nowadays we're like, yeah, I deserve to be happy. Heck yeah. But then when it's come to answering a question like that, you start to second guess yourself and think, wait, do I? You know, I made so many mistakes in the past, and we don't forgive ourselves. So then we don't think that we deserve it.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so how do you help people through that? How do you help them believe that they are made for more, that they deserve to be happy?
Well, really, that's centered on emotional intelligence and self-awareness. People not realizing that they can choose their perspective. They can choose the lens through which they look at their lives. And you know, it's real simple, right? If you are trying to look at something at a certain distance through your camera, you have to choose the lens. But when you look at your life, you just assume that you have the correct lens. So when it comes to deserving to be happy, I inform people, when you were born, you immediately deserved to be happy. Happiness is not something that you earn. There's no checklist. Do these 4 and 5 things and you are now allowed to think positive thoughts about yourself. And another thing that people do is when they go back and they look at their past mistakes or whatever they're using to judge themselves, they look at their results. They don't look at their mindset going into that. For example, there are certain things in life that you try to accomplish that I guarantee you will fail at. If you try those things while you are miserable and while you think you're not worthy of accomplishing the task, think about it. How many jobs are there that people do not apply for because they think they're not worth getting paid that much?
Mm. Yep.
If I get this job, then I'm going to do something that I don't think I'm good enough for. I don't think I'm worthy of that salary. And so they would rather volunteer and do it for free, because yeah, they feel like their effort is worth doing it for free. And what I try to get people to do is to look at themselves like they look at other people, in a sense that when someone you love screws something up, how do you judge them? It's okay. It's all right. You know, I still got your back. It's cool. You did your best. You look at their intentions. You look at their heart. You look at their overall relationship with you, right? Because it's easier to let some people off the hook than others because of what they mean to you. So I care about you. I know you did your best. It's okay. I know you had good intentions. So the result of their effort doesn't come into play as you form your opinion of them. You already have your opinion of them. You already love them. You already care about them. They're already your best friend. But then when you look at yourself, your self-worth is based purely on your results. You refuse to look at your values, your effort, your journey, your mindset, So I can look at, for example, I can look at you and the success that you've had and compare that to myself, my own success. And that makes no sense because our journeys have been completely different. What you've endured and what's in your heart and what's on your mind is different than mine. But what I can do is I can look at you and I can say, because of these experiences, it's amazing that you're doing these things. And then if you didn't do them, I would still think you're amazing. Then I would look at myself and I would say, well, because I'm not on the same level as you, I'm such a loser. Yeah. And but that's what we do. We compare results. What we should do is look at, first, what are my values? Do my behaviors align with those values? What are my intentions? Was I trying to hurt this person? Well, no, I wasn't. And so if I had the right attitude, the right intentions, my heart was in the right place, I don't have to judge myself. And another thing I try to teach people is that holding yourself accountable and judging yourself are two different things. For example, I didn't mean to do what I did to you. I'm not going to judge myself and say, because I did this to you, I'm a horrible person. That's self-judgment. Accountability is me saying, I apologize, and then checking my behavior so that I don't do it again.
You are listening to the Truth We Hide podcast. This week, I would like to invite you to listen to Combat Divas, hosted by Tanisha B. and TG, Army vets. Tanisha B. and TG are two female combat veterans who humorously co-host and tell their experiences in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and in their day-to-day life experiences. Their conversations highlight the ups and downs of being a female in the Army, slight PTSD, relationships, sex, wellness, and current events. They do it all. This show will entertain, inspire, and empower, and maybe entertain some more. So go ahead and listen to Combat Divas podcast.
And then when we make those adjustments in our behavior and they align more with our values and intentions, we should give ourselves credit for that instead of judging ourselves on making a mistake in the first place.
Absolutely. No, that makes sense. It does. And we do. We often get in that mindset where we compare our life with someone else's, but we don't know their journey. They don't know our journey. We should just be happy to be in that space. And that's what I've learned to do is thank you for letting me into your space and letting me learn from you. Because, you know, because of you, this is why I continue to work harder or I'm more motivated. Whatever the case is, I think we fall into that ugly part of imposter syndrome. And self-judgment and self-talk and all this negativity when we should really just appreciate that we're even on this journey, you know, doing the things that we do. So I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, the social comparison is destroying us because these systems are set up in a way really for you to just express what you want to express. And so if there was no social media and you just asked me, how did you do this weekend in terms of my performance on something? Mm-hmm. I'm going to choose to tell you the best things I did. And if I didn't do anything, I'm going to tell you nothing. I'm not going to tell you all the bad things I did. Right. And social media is the same way. And so we can look at that and we can judge these people. But what you don't see on Facebook posts, for most people, what you don't see on Instagram or TikTok is the misery that they're going through. And then what happens when someone does put some misery out there? They post, I'm miserable, I'm lonely, I'm hurting. All of these people will say, you know, I care about you, I got your back, this and that. But the individual who's hurting still believes that they're the only one hurting. If I say I have a broken ankle and everyone responds, I hope you get better, I may think I'm the only one dumb enough to have a broken ankle. When in reality, someone could have responded to me from their hospital bed because they were drinking and driving. And so they're judging themselves for their mistake, and I'm judging myself for my mistake. Maybe we should talk and encourage each other.
Right.
We can't do that because we all look good.
Yes.
So we don't know who's hurting. No. Yes. I tell people who are depressed, you know, there are, 320 or 30 million people just in the U.S.? And 20% of Americans will experience diagnosable depression at some point in time in their life. So there's no way that you're the only one that's depressed. It's mathematically impossible.
I just wish that stigma would go away, you know, because I think that's what's making it so hard for people to be honest, is because they're afraid to be judged. They're afraid to be looked at differently. And so I think that's why it's so important and so powerful for people like us to create these spaces to welcome them and say, you are not going to be judged here. You are not alone. Let us help you use your voice to share your true feelings. And I think, you know, it's just one step at a time. And I think we just need more people to do that. So I really like that you have that group to have people read your inspirational, motivational posts that are real, you know, that are just out there for us.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, as the communities come together, we have to learn to just lift each other up. And what's really hard is when you judge yourself to lift someone else up authentically. And what I mean by that also is that I want to say I'm happy for you, but in reality, I'm jealous because I suck at this and I suck at that. And I saw your stuff and you're really good at this. Oh, you won this quarterly award at the office. You got a promotion. And so I'm really jealous that your career is going so well. I'm a loser. I can't handle it. Meanwhile, I can feel like a loser and I can go home and be encouraged by my family, my wife and my kids. And this person who just won the annual award, they go home and they have no one to celebrate with because they're going through a divorce. And they wish they could trade those awards for a happy marriage.
Yeah.
And so we just sit there and we judge each other. And when we do that, we teach our children to do the same thing. Your kids hear it when you say, I suck, I'm a loser, I'm mad at myself, I can't believe I did that, blah, blah, blah. But then you are criticized when you celebrate your victories. Yeah. You're criticized, you're considered bragging. I can talk about how my life sucks for 3 hours. But if I tell you that I'm going to display this trophy for this award, then it's, why are you just showing off? Self-judgment tells me that they're right and I should stop showing off and I should learn to be humble.
Yeah. Powerful. That's really powerful. So you are on this mission to help people replace misery with happiness. But I know you're doing other things, and I think you should share to it. I mean, I don't think, not to give away secrets, but I'm just saying you should share because you have come a long way and it's your passion that has helped you to do all these things. And the world needs to know because Charleston Gaines is making impact.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, I have a lot of projects going on. And what I call this is a multifaceted attack on misery. And I say that because people learn and acquire new information from various means, right? So I'm doing professional speaking. And of course, you can go to my website and you can see that and book me to come speak at your event or your organization or whatever. And then I'm also doing life coaching. And part of that is what my group is about. So my Facebook group, of course, You Deserve to Be Happy, so that we can build that community. And then within that community where there's no judgment and it's all respect and encouragement, people can find help. And the life coaching is some things I haven't started yet, right? But the life coaching, there's going to be group coaching as well as a one-on-one coaching. And with group coaching, again, that's about perspective. Is group coaching where we all sit in a circle and whine about how bad our lives are? Or is group coaching where there's a group of people encouraging each other and supporting each other? And so you can choose which attitude and perspective you bring to the group. And then also, I have my podcast, which is called the Cope Life Podcast. And Cope is K-O-P-E, which stands for kindness, optimism, positivity, and empathy. And the reason I call it that is because I want you to be able to bring that into every situation that you're in. And then that's where you can look at the self-judgment and the accountability. So that if you're trying to live the cope life, a life in which you bring the kindness, optimism, positivity, and empathy, if you're trying to live that cope life and you're in a situation where you do not exemplify those attributes, you don't judge yourself, you just try again the next day, right? So, for example, I think politics in this country are a big part of where we could have used more cope, more of the cope life attitude. And honestly, I've had issues with it too. And I've had to check my mindset. I've had to hold myself accountable. Even this morning, I was typing a response to someone and then I deleted it. I said, what's going to happen if I send this? And there's different ways to look at it, right? Different perspectives. And one perspective is I can choose to enter into this argument with this other individual, or what, I can win the argument and ruin his day. Is that what I want? Is that a cope life? Or I can wait for him to post something positive and I can cheer him on. So I have those choices. So that's what Cope Life is about. And that's why I call it the Cope Life Podcast, because that's the focus. And then if you don't bring all of it to every situation, that just proves that you're a human being. Guess what? I proved today that I'm not perfect. Well, good. That means you fit in with the other 8 billion people in the world. Good job. Good for you. We have a community of imperfect people. And so I have my podcast, the Facebook group, professional speaking, life coaching, and I'm also building online courses through Teachable, and it's called Cope Life University. And so the first class is going to be available by the end of the month, and it's Understand and Prevent Suicide, where I really dig into really the interpersonal psychological theory of suicide. The more we can understand why people die by suicide, the more we can do something about it. And that theory is called IPTS for short. That's based on the book Why People Die by Suicide, written by Dr. Thomas Joyner. And so if you don't want to wait for my online course, I suggest you just go buy the book, because it's an incredible book. And so, yeah, I'll have the online courses. And then the courses I'm developing after that are self-awareness, emotion regulation. I'm going to have a class called Replace Misery with Happiness. I'm also going to get into some relationship type stuff. For example, how do you incorporate emotional intelligence into your relationships? There's also another one going to be empathetic leadership, where leaders learn to connect with their people and you buy into your people so that they buy into you and the mission. And I think so many people are just unaware of that process, because we're so, especially during COVID, and with self-judgment, we're so results-driven. I have to get this number of tasks done. I can't use COVID as an excuse and all these other things. And I judge myself based on if I get this promotion. And if I get this promotion and get these things done during COVID, look how good I am. And in reality, you could get fired from your job tomorrow and you still deserve to be happy. You don't need the promotion to deserve a smile, laughter, and hugs.
That's so true. And wow, congratulations, because that is a lot. That's a lot, but it's so needed. There's going to be people out there that need to learn from you. Are you able to share the link, or will that come later onto where to get your classes?
Oh, that's going to come later. It's going to be, I'm going to announce it in my Facebook group also. On my website, there's going to be a link to it. There isn't one now, because if you go click on it now, you're not going to be able to get in because it's not done. And so Right. And that's the self-judgment, right? Who puts a link out there and there's nothing available? What a loser.
That's okay. They'll just go follow you. You need to go follow him on his Facebook group and on his website. So stay tuned for all that's coming.
Oh, and that reminds me of something else.
Yeah.
So every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, I host a clubhouse room called Replace Misery with Happiness.
Awesome.
And the first couple rooms I did on Clubhouse, only one person showed up. So they just got free coaching for about an hour or so. Because that's what I'm there for. I want to help people.
Yeah.
And I have this idea that I got from Jay Shetty. And if you guys aren't familiar with Jay Shetty, you should just Google him. He has a book called Think Like a Monk, which is amazing. And he had this concept, and I fully adopted it. The concept is, I am going to be a billionaire, but I'm not counting dollars. My goal is not to have $1 billion, but to impact 1 billion people. And what's so great about that is that there's no way for me to count that. So regardless of how many people I impact, I need to approach every day as if I've impacted no one and continue the process. I have to embrace the process as opposed to trying to look at the results. I won't know the results. I'll always be frustrated. Let me just process on the next person in front of me that could use some encouragement or comfort.
I love that. You know, it's true. You just have to keep showing up because you never know who's watching. You never know who's listening. And you're going to impact at least one person a day. And I think that's what matters.
It is. It is what matters. And what also matters is that we acknowledge our effort.
Yeah.
We acknowledge what we're putting into it. So you think to yourself, what did I do today that was great? Or I didn't do anything. And meanwhile, there's someone that just went home from the hospital who has no idea who you are. And they say to themselves, man, I was really feeling like trash, but this person smiled at me and I smiled back and I felt better. And so it doesn't even make sense to try to quantify how many people you impacted. Just be you and just live the cope life.
That's true.
I've had a long day and this person showed me kindness. That's it. And if that's your intention, if those are your values, if that's where your effort goes, then you don't need to judge yourself based on the results. There's no value in that. The value is waking up saying tomorrow, I'm also going to be kind, optimistic, positive, and empathetic.
Love that. You need to get that trademarked. Registered, because I love that and what it stands for. That is so awesome.
And in my 3 to 5 year plan is that I get ICF certification, which is International Coaching Federation, so that I can officially train people to be COPE life coaches.
I love that. And that's awesome.
Yeah. So really, when I tell you about what's going on now, this is the preseason. I haven't even gotten started.
That's fantastic. I love hearing that. Good for you. Seriously, good for you. So what would be some words you'd like to leave with the listeners today?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, I want to say this quote by Brené Brown that I apply to myself, and I try to apply it to other people. I just have a couple quotes and then I'll say my own thing. But Brené Brown says, if courage is your value, then it's your duty to do it regardless of the results. And that's how I approach what I'm doing. Dr. Viktor Frankl says, and first of all, if you guys don't, anyone listening doesn't know Dr. Viktor Frankl, he was an Auschwitz survivor. And after he was liberated from Auschwitz, he wanted to understand why did he live and others died? And his answer was because he had a reason to live. It was his mindset, not his physical body. His mindset drove his survival. And his quote is, that which is to give light must endure burning. Everyone that you know in your life that brings you positivity and joy, that gives you an example of how to live, endured burning before their light was lit. And what you're seeing is someone who embraced the process and chose themselves. They chose recovery. They chose to shine. The difference between you and them is that they chose to shine at the end on the other side of the process, and you're still in the process. So while you're in that process, choose who you're going to be on the other side. Are you going to live a cope life, or are you going to be miserable? Recognize that it is your choice. Choose you. And here's another thing. I guess this is the thing I want to leave people with. Self-care is not selfish. Everybody that knows you, cares about you, and loves you wants you to be okay. So when you take care of yourself, you're also doing something that they all want you to do as well. So take care of yourself for them so that they can continue to have the opportunity to love and appreciate you daily. And if you will follow their lead, then you can learn to love and appreciate yourself as well.
So profound, Charles. And oh my gosh. I love all of this. And I thank you so much for coming on here to share with all of us. So I need you guys to stay tuned for everything he's going to be doing in the next few years. Go to his website. It's clicking down there below, but I'm also going to put that in the podcast guide, and go to his Facebook group. So all these things, keep in touch with him, find him on LinkedIn as well. And again, thank you so much. I'm so excited for you and everything that you're going to be doing. So I will be watching out.
All right. Thank you very much. And I just want all the listeners to know that Annette has inspired me as well. I'm following her lead. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Truths We Hide podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Call Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.